Welcome to episode 2 of the Frank Online Marketing Show. Thank you to everybody who gave me such kind feedback on the first episode. And even if your feedback isn't all that kind, I'd still like to hear it so I can constantly make the show better. So please don't hesitate to give me feedback. I've decided that I will make Fridays the usual show release day, partly because I like the sound of Frank Fridays, and also because I'm thinking that by Friday you might be able to slow down enough to listen to a marketing advice show that's this long. And if you can't on Friday, you can easily take it home with you and listen to it on the weekend. On today's show, we've got an interview with the founder of CoolToysForTots.ca. Her name is Olya Libets-Pavlin. It's quite a change from last week's episode where we focused on a company that's now quite big. Olya and her husband Joe are running this business out of their home, and that's the way they want it, at least for now. Let's hear about how this small Canadian company is managing to compete against the big behemoths like Toys R Us and build a solid, profitable customer base.
I'm Olya Libets-Pavlin. My husband and I, Joe, run CoolToysForTots.ca.
Tell me about Cool Toys for Tots. What do you do there? What do you sell?
We sell educational toys, we sell plush animals, we sell anything to do with toddlers and fun things for them.
And how long have you been doing that?
We started in 2009. I'm a teacher and I've been doing kindergarten for the last about 9 to 10 years, and I also have a business background in retailing, and so I wanted a way of combining both experiences and not having a retail store but giving me flexibility to run a business on my own.
From what you've experienced, how does it compare to the experience of actually having a retail store?
I much prefer it because you've got lots of flex time. If you're in a mall, you're there constantly, 7 days a week, from morning till night. We are up at 7, the computer's on at 7, we go to bed at midnight, but I have got flexibility to do whatever needs to get done during the day, and I don't have to worry about landlords telling me you can't lock your doors to run out somewhere.
When you decided to get going, first of all, what kind of research did you do to reassure yourself that there was a market even for this?
I was an online shopper.
Okay.
And we ended up reading an article in Mompreneur magazine, explored it from that article. It was a lady in the States that was starting websites. We contacted her, and it was an industry that I know because I do set up kindergarten classrooms and new materials that go into there. We have our own two little kids at that point. And knowing what things they like to play with, what things I want them to play with,
mm-hmm.
and not licensed products. We don't do licensed products. It's a lot of wooden toys. It's a lot of organic toys. It's a lot of large play kitchens that go into a classroom, into a play school, into a daycare. So it was a background that I knew the materials.
So are most of the things you sell then aimed at that more corporate market, like the daycares or the kindergartens, as opposed to individual parents? Or
right now, our balance is probably more parents, grandparents, than schools, but that's another avenue that we are expanding into.
Okay. And how do you compete with the other stuff that's out there? How do you manage to compete online?
It is very price competitive.
Yeah.
Top-notch service. As soon as the order comes in, we process it. It's out almost the same day.
Mm-hmm.
We follow up with tracking numbers. We answer your customers' concerns all the time. We email back at midnight because there are time zone differences. It may be 8 o'clock in Toronto, but it's only 6 o'clock here and 5 o'clock in Vancouver. So we juggle to accommodate everybody's time change.
And do you store all the products at your home then, or how does that work?
We do about half and half. We do some product here in Edmonton. We warehouse it here. And other products are drop shipped, so we don't have to ship heavy kitchens back and forth across the country.
Okay, can you explain a little bit for the audience about drop shipping and how that works?
Drop shipping means a manufacturer will have a warehouse somewhere or close to FedEx or UPS.
Mm-hmm.
And I email them an order. They then will ship that order to the customer.
Okay, so they keep a supply of the products that you're selling?
Correct.
And so would that be the company that you're actually buying those products from?
Correct, that's okay. Who I get my invoice from.
Okay, so you get an order, you pass the order on to them.
And they ship it out.
They ship it, and so you flow through the payments.
Correct.
Then to them. So how does that affect the profit margin versus selling it yourself?
Profit margin is lower because it is competitive,
mm-hmm.
but the benefit is that I don't have to have inventory in that item, so it's not costing me anything to carry the product, to warehouse the product. I'm not lifting 90-pound kitchens.
A good thing. Now, selling something like 90-pound kitchens, though, that's got to be awfully expensive from a delivery perspective. How does that work?
We deal with a lot with Kitchencraft Canada, who's based out of Mississauga, and three-quarters of our business for them is out of Ontario anyway. So for them to get a kitchen, it might be about $20. Okay. To ship to Vancouver Island, yes, it's going to be expensive. It's going to be about $90.
Wow.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Our profit margin on it is small because we don't actually have to warehouse the inventory. We don't handle it in any way. It's time spent on the computer and paperwork going back and forth and making sure the customer received their product,
mm-hmm.
following it by tracking numbers. The items that we warehouse in Edmonton, if you live in Alberta, live in Saskatchewan, live in Vancouver, Vancouver Island, it's less expensive for them to receive that product from us versus somebody from Newfoundland, because shipping to Newfoundland to Quebec is a lot more expensive. So it balances off. We've got the Western provinces for items that we inventory here, like Melissa and Doug, Imagiplay, Happy, Duperty Clothing, and then that part of it comes a little bit more expensive for our Toronto customers, because it is going across the country. But shipping is fast. It's 3 days to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if people complain about the cost of shipping, said, well, you know, FedEx driver has to get paid. You have to pay for the gas, the building, the truck. And the employee needs to get paid there as well, right? Nothing is free. And for the consumer, if, I mean, I say, okay, $20 now, I mean, that's at least what somebody makes an hour, generally. Mm-hmm. And for you to take out an hour of your time to go running around the city to try and find it, is it worth it?
Right.
Time is a commodity as well. So achieving that balance between, you know, getting the product that you want on time, getting it at your doorstep, and you're not driving anywhere, and especially if you've got little kids in tow, because you know when you go shopping with little kids, it takes you three times as long. You end up buying a lot more than you came for, and sometimes you don't find what you're looking for.
Yeah, so and then you've got the challenge of dragging the kid out of the toy store.
So this is very convenient. Click, 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 done. It's at your door. It's a surprise for them. They don't know it's coming, and you get what you're looking for, or even find more things that you thought you were looking for.
Do you find you actually get into those types of conversations with potential customers about the pros and cons of paying the shipping fee?
We do, because some will say, you know, I think it's too expensive. And I say, well, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. This is the lowest that we do in FedEx, because we do volume shipping with them.
Mm-hmm.
Does give us a price break,
mm-hmm.
and we do pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to buy our boxes, a box is $2 a piece as well. So that cost has to get covered.
Right.
And the tape. And our time for packaging it as well. We don't really charge for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the boxes, we do have to pay $2 plus for a box.
Wow. Yeah. So the products that you're selling, most of them, though, would be available in certainly in a major city. Is that correct?
It is. We're doing a lot of Melissa and Doug products, which other competitors do carry it. We've up to 400 lines, and we try to keep every piece that we carry in stock.
Okay.
And a major bookstore line does carry that product, but they only have about 200 some items online, and it's not always in stock. So
okay.
we try to carry the largest variety,
mm-hmm.
and maintain what we have on site in stock. And if not, it goes on a waiting list. You just click on the little button. So when the inventory comes in, we get a shipment in every about 2 weeks. We click, let you know that it's in. Like yesterday we received 55 boxes, another 7 came in the next day. So we are definitely gearing up for the Christmas season and holding our inventory.
I was going to ask about how you manage tracking the inventory. Do you use some special kind of software? Is it linked in with your online sales software? How does that work?
It's linked in to our online system. It's a shopping cart, and we are using a US design. I went through, before we decided which company we're going to work with, I went through to see pros and cons and compare to what services each of the shopping carts were providing. And we're just about to upgrade to the next one. We haven't had time to get to the next level.
Okay.
But what it does do is the system automatically keeps track of my inventory. And so it tells me, I can set it to tell me when I'm down to 2 items, down to 3 items, or I completely sold out of something, so that I can just quickly do a refill order.
Okay. So was it difficult then to choose the software? What was the process of figuring out even what was out there and how to decide what to choose?
It had to be friendly for the Canadian consumer. It had to offer shipping to Canada, because a lot of the US sites don't. It had to have a very quick one-page checkout. Customers are very fast in terms of, or you might say almost impatient now. Click, 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 click. If I don't get my answer now, they shoot off in a couple of seconds. They don't mm-hmm. stand there to wait. So this site, the speed site, has to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
It has to give them as much information on one page as possible,
mm-hmm.
and very easy to click through and get the information that they want, proceed to the cart, checkout, done.
Okay. And you said you've been using one system and you're about to upgrade. Is it within the same
system or?
No, I'm moving to a different shopping cart because this one, the new one will have a little pop-out window that's telling the customer exactly what the shipping quote would be. Where on this one, they would have to type in their city, the postal code, and the province to get a shipping quote. The other one has a little pop-up window. And that one will work for the Canadian site. The old one works, that I'm currently using, works for the U.S. zip code,
okay,
but it doesn't accept the postal code. So that's where the stumbling block comes in, making sure it's Canadian friendly.
So then will you have two different, because you've got a .com site as well, right?
Right, so I'm moving both carts over with the second
okay.
company.
Okay. Now, how does it work having the .com and the .ca? How do you avoid confusion in customers' minds? How do you deal with that?
We've got a flag, two flags at the very top of our page. One says shipping to Canada, one says shipping to the U.S. Now, the U.S. is basically for customers within the U.S. or a Canadian that wants to have something shipped from a Canadian U.S. manufacturer directly to their friend, relative in the United States.
Okay, and that makes sense then that you've labeled it shipping to the U.S.,
right.
Not are you from the U.S.
Right, it's shipping to. So if you're shipping from, like we get this question at Christmas time. So the sister is in the United States, wants to ship it to the friend in Manitoba. So they'll go onto a Canadian site, place the order on a Canadian site because it will be shipping within Canada.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shipping, want to ship to the United States, click on the U.S. flag, you're on the U.S. site, and then proceed with your order. And the difference there is that whatever we warehouse here in Edmonton, we do not ship across the Canadian-U.S. border. It stays within the Canadian boundaries.
Why?
Borders. I don't want to get into shipping it across into the States and doing all the paperwork that's involved doing it that way. And that product is readily available in the United States. And the competition is so much greater there. There's no point for me doing it.
Okay.
The customs and fees, going all and doing all that stuff for basically no reason. There's no margins left by that time.
Mm-hmm.
What we do for the U.S. customers is items are all drop shipped, so they might be something shipping directly from Kidcraft, let's say, from their Texas warehouse to wherever they live. And it's easy.
At this point, what would roughly be the split of Canadian versus American sales?
Oh, 98 Canadian, 98% Canadian.
Okay.
I mean, there's only so much time in the day, and we're concentrating on our Canadian market.
Makes sense.
The other one's more of a service for the cross-border shipping for your friends and relatives across the border.
So you don't need to have huge volumes to actually set up arrangements to do the deliveries with American drop shipping locations? Or?
We work with those same companies
okay.
on our other website. So primarily our business is there, and that's just secondary.
Okay.
So we work with those same companies for our Canadian customers.
What has been the growth trajectory of this since you started? It's been 3 years now, I think?
Well, we went live 2010 January because okay. we incorporated in August of 2009. It took longer to go live than we thought because we were working with a U.S. mompreneur who was also a teacher. She had a master's in ed, and she started these websites that she was selling. And it happened to be a toy site. Now, to get a hold of them, to work with them and their time zones, and I was still teaching, and I had my babies were little, it was very limited in how much energy I could put into this.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've retired from teaching and doing this full time, so it's completely different in
right.
how much energy and how much time I have to do it, because my first priority is my full-time employer, which was the school board.
Right.
And your parents there, right? You have to do that first. And this is my thing on the side that I'm developing, or my husband and I are developing. So there's
yeah.
only so many hours in the day that you can put into this. And as yes. it is, we work full-time on it.
But it's reached the point where it makes sense to be working full-time on it.
Yes. Because, I mean, self-employment is where I want to be. So it fulfills me in more than one way.
And how old are your children now?
My daughter is 6 and our son is 9.
So they're both in school now. That must make things a little bit easier.
It is. I mean, it was a pleasure to teach them because I taught both of them when they were in kindergarten. All three of us were at the same school and they went there to play school and such. So it was a very nice experience, but I'm letting them go. I'm letting them free. They're on their own. Mummy's at home running the business and they're involved as well because they help us, you know, do the deliveries to FedEx on the way to dance lessons, on the way to swimming. So I said, you know what, guys, it's been a really big, busy Christmas and I've not paid them any allowance at all. So now I'm going to start paying them an allowance.
Okay.
Because it is a family business and they're involved in it
right.
and they need to be rewarded as well.
That's very cool. So you're training little entrepreneurs there.
Oh, you bet.
And had you done entrepreneurial things before then?
I did. I was in business for 13 years with my brother. We had two kitchen stores and we started off initially back in 1983, not that old.
You're not that old.
1988, because
yes.
I taught before and then I left teaching. And so we had a franchise coffee store at first. We had that for 5 years, then we sold it. And then we had a kitchen store. We had two stores that we ran here in Edmonton from 93 to 2000, or 2001, something like that.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in developing this business?
Time, personal time, time to devote to the... There is so much that I would love to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me about, you know, 20 minutes or so to upload a product. And there's product lore out there. And we're very picky as to what kind of product we do carry. And we like it to be, you know, toxic-free, of course. And what kind of paints are they using? What kind of company are they to work with?
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a licensed product. You won't find Dora and those kind of items on us. Because Toys R Us carries it. We don't want to get into that. It's more stuff that I know from the kindergarten classrooms. What's going to help the children read? What's going to develop their thinking skills and memory skills? And fun at the same time. And like we do carry little balance bikes because that teaches them fine motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different areas to explore. And there's companies across Canada that I love. I've met them in January at the Toy Fair in Toronto. And I want to head off to the New York one coming up in the spring. It's time in meeting these companies, and then I've got all these product books I want to upload. I don't have time to even upload this stuff.
Okay.
So it's tons of stuff. Now that I am working on it full time, my kids are in school till 4:19 when the bus drops them off. I've got time from 8 o'clock when they're on the bus till then to work on it.
How do you set priorities for your time? How do you decide what comes first and second and third?
What the family needs is first,
okay.
Obviously. It has to be.
Yeah.
And then I juggle in work on the business in between.
If you had unlimited time and money, what would be some of the things that you would like to do with this business? Sell it and retire.
No, I'm enjoying it. And I enjoy the conversations I have with customers,
mm-hmm.
and the emails that we do back and forth. We do have a 1-800 line, so people can get a hold of us. We turn off the phone at night because sometimes the phone rings at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would like to develop it more. There's just provide all this great product that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just not enough hours to inventory it all, to bring the shipments in, to uploading to is the part that I'm finding I don't have enough time on. And we process the orders right away because I don't want it to be forgotten about or the customer is expecting it. I want them a nice surprise that comes in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Not it took 3 weeks to get across Canada.
Right. What's involved in uploading a product?
Entering the item number, the item description, creating the paragraph on each product,
mm-hmm.
telling them the weight of it, the age specific, where it's going to be shipping from, the item number, the
okay.
UPC codes, doing your keywords, doing your meta tags, doing your images. By the time you cut and paste from your supplier site or you're creating this on your own,
mm-hmm.
our images come from our creators, but of course your keywords are your own,
yeah.
and you want them to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
So it all takes time.
How have you approached keyword research? Is this something that you've done on your own? Do you hire someone to help you with that? How does that work?
I'm self-taught.
Okay.
I'm all self-taught. Figure that I know the product myself. I work with it, and hiring somebody that is beyond and not even in the same city as me and doesn't know what this product looks like or what it's supposed to do, for them to come up with a keyword may be hard. Like toys is such a large, vast keyword,
right.
that may not be something that you're looking for. If I'm a kindergarten teacher, maybe I'm looking for math manipulatives. That might be a keyword of mine because that's a terminology that I know and I use, or a fine motor skill word is something that I know.
Right.
And so I'll plug that in. So if it's a school looking for it and they know those words, that's what they might put into their search.
Okay.
Or KidCraft Canada. I mean, everybody knows KidCraft Canada, and that's another big keyword, or play
mm-hmm.
kitchen,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
wooden kitchen.
Okay. And is there much in the way of competition from other Canadian online toy sellers?
There is, and I'm also finding that as the time goes on, everybody decides what lines work for them, what they want to carry, or if they think there's not enough margin in there for them, they drop the line.
Right.
Or what I've heard also from speaking to our company, the manufacturer that we work with, is they do watch very carefully what keywords you're putting in and how you're labeling things, and they may put a stop to you too if you're not following their guidelines.
Ah, interesting.
They do keep tab on what you're putting there as you're on your address bar.
Well, that's interesting. So their concern would be that you would be misleading people? Or
correct.
What? Okay.
Saying
okay.
that I'm the official reseller
got
of,
it.
And there's more than just one. You're not the only one. You're a reseller, but you're not the
right.
only
right.
one doing it.
That's interesting. How do you promote the site?
We do newsletters, and another thing I want to do more of, but it takes a long time to, not a long time, but it takes time to do it, and it might take me all day to get one out
yep.
before I cut and paste and do the layout properly and everything else. And meanwhile, there's phone calls coming, there's things to get out. and time for a cup of coffee and a chocolate chip cookie. Need that there too. But it that all takes time. Google AdWords work the best for us, and all the largest search engines within Canada, and that I research as too, you know, who are the big search engines.
Do you have any idea, or would you be willing to share roughly what percentage of your traffic comes from the paid advertising versus organic search?
Right now it is a lot of paid. I mean, I know I need to work on my links and my keywords, and my keywords are there, but the links and getting to that. And the competition is tough. So to get to that page, but mind you, if you type in a specific word like Kid Craft Pink Vintage Kitchen, we show up on page one. Hmm. If you type in toys, no, we're not going to be on page one.
That would be hugely expensive to be on page one. What are some of the things that you've learned then as you've experimented with the advertising in terms of what works and what doesn't?
I play with Google AdWords every single day. Okay. I check it out to see what ad's working, what's not, what keywords I should have in there, what negative keywords I need to add so it's not popping up in the wrong item. Like if you're typing in Batman, no, I don't have any Batman items. So that would end up being a negative keyword for me. And just sort of playing as to how much you want to pay per click. And what it turns out to be to your advantage.
Right. So you keep a really close eye on that tracking.
I try to.
And are you also using something like Google Analytics for the overall website to keep track of what's happening there or no?
I do have it. I don't look at it as often.
Okay. And so you're largely judging success then based on what people are ending up buying.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what your shopping cart abandonment rates would be?
Well, everybody would say higher than you want them to be because you don't want any abandonment rates, right? Of course. More you can convert, the better it is, right? Because you're not wasting any dollars. Mm-hmm. And then you've built a customer base or expanded your customer base. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can come back and capture them. Like what we run into is shipping to the territories is very expensive.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Canada Post does not do a live feed, so I can't offer that online.
What do you mean they don't do a live feed?
Like FedEx is connected to my site.
Okay.
And UPS. And then when you put in your address, FedEx will calculate what the shipping is. So it's not me guessing.
Right.
It's a live feed into the FedEx website, and it tells them how much it's going to cost from this postal code to that postal code to pay based on the weight. So I have to enter the weight of each item as I enter my product.
Right.
And then it sums up what the weight is. And unfortunately, FedEx does not go up to the little tiny isolated towns. Mm-hmm. Canada Post does. And FedEx and Canada Post have an agreement that they will then pass on to Canada Post to bring these items up north.
Okay.
And what I find too, though, is if I can go into, if they abandon their cart, I call them back up saying, you know what, I've gone onto the Canada Post website and I've calculated the shipping for the box, this size, this weight, from this postal code to this postal code, and this is what it's going to cost you. Would you like me to proceed with the order this way?
Okay.
And usually it does happen that way. And then what I then do is create a different button with a custom shipping option for them.
And do you find that a lot of the business is from remote places where it's hard for them to buy the toys?
It is, because there is no large toy store up there, and it's expensive to ship up there. Mm-hmm. And like that Kid Craft Kitchen is going to be expensive, but what we do then is we carry the Melissa and Doug Kitchen, mm-hmm. and it comes in one box. Mm-hmm. It's smaller, it's three-sided, so you've got a lot of children that can play with it at one time, and it's neutral colors, so it's not pink, it's not blue, it's orange and reds and mm-hmm. and some blue in there and some natural colors, because Reggie was going into natural colors for the schools. And it makes it more cost efficient for them.
Okay. Are there things that you would suggest that people who are thinking of starting an online business or taking their existing business online, what would you advise them to do and not to do?
It's a lot of work. it really is. It's not something you're going to be a millionaire overnight. Definitely not. As they always say, it has to be a passion of yours, mm-hmm. because it is taking a large amount of time of yours that you could be doing something else. But I like the freedom of it. Mm-hmm. I like the challenge of building it every year, and our numbers are getting bigger every year, and the contacts that I'm making in the Toronto area and up north and meeting people in BC. So, and Saskatchewan, all the provinces, and so it's nice, and our Quebec base is really building.
Do you find that on the site that you try to project an image of you being a bigger company, or are you quite open about the fact that it's you and your husband?
No, we sign everything only in Joe.
Okay. So you've made it very personal intentionally.
Definitely. Okay. And then we sign every packing slip that comes from us. We sign, thanks for your order, Ole and Joe. If you go to our About page, you will, About Us page, you'll see a family picture of us. The kids are younger. We have not updated our photo. That one doesn't have any gray hair in it, so I've kept that one. But we're not a large corporation. We don't pretend to be. And mm-hmm. It is a family business, and that's what we say.
Well, I think that would actually appeal to a lot of people, too.
I think it does. Like we say, we're, you know, I'm an educator. My husband was an ed and left and went into journalism. And we're parents, and we're hands-on parents, but they've never been in daycare. It's been lucky that we've been able to be with them all the time. And we learn from our own kids, too, as to what they need, and through the play schools that they've gone to, and different activities that they engage in, and as to what we need to do to develop our children socially, emotionally, and physically.
Have you tried to do any kind of public relations work offline? So, for instance, with Chatelaine or some mom-type publications?
We did do the free print magazines that go out to families out in the libraries. We found that didn't work for us. We spent a lot of money on that. We did that the very first year. That didn't work. I had people that called up saying, well, I don't have a computer. I said, well, then...
it's hard to...
It's going to be difficult, right, because I can't see a tracking number after. And then... So that for us had not worked. Mind you, it was our first year too, and maybe we tried to do too much at the same time. We spent a lot of money where we shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So I have not done lots of print lately. We've been concentrating on online because that's where the customer is.
Right.
They are online. They're clicking away whatever time of day it is, whether at the office during the lunch hour or if they're doing it at home.
A lot of companies are very reluctant to go online and try to just primarily serve the Canadian market. You think they're making a mistake?
That's up to them.
Okay. That's very doubtful.
You know, it's if you've got, I've been in a retail store, a physical location. I know how much work that takes because you've got a staff, but it's very expensive. And this is a separate big business on its own because you have to be on top of it too. So if you've got enough manpower that you can run your physical store and have somebody else to run your online store because they are separate businesses, and you've got to keep your inventory, I would assume, separately because the online one tracks exactly what you have, mm-hmm. and you can't rely on running to your other store to go pick it up, because what if somebody else walked into the store and bought it when they had one of each? So to me, mm-hmm. they're completely separate entities,
Okay. And
you really have to do a lot of staffing. I mean, if they're large enough and they can man everything, great, go ahead. A lot of people are using it as a way to bring customers into their store,
yes,
but not as a business on its own.
But as you say, I guess it's very challenging if you're trying to do both things at the same time. You really need to accept it's not just a slight little add-on.
Well, if it's a slight little add-on for them, they won't be really working it because it is a big job in itself.
Okay.
And you need somebody there all the time to do it if your customer service is going to be there.
Right. So apart from the time commitment, what else do you find challenging about it or stressful?
Well, you know, it's fun. I'm having fun. It's not challenging. It's fun. I love going to the trade shows and seeing all these great things. And I come back and I have to get this up. I have to get that up. But next thing you know, a month has gone by and I still haven't done what I thought I would get done. And our priority is doing the current inventory and servicing the customers as they order, as they come in. Mm-hmm. So as we get busier, it's like, oh, shoot. Okay, I think we're going to need some help here. Or, you mm-hmm. know, I ask my husband, okay, I need you to work on this today, please. You know, and he has a full-time job. So it's my kids and my stock children sometimes. You know, come into the stock room, we got to get the stuff out, you know, help me unpack. It's not stressful. I'm loving what I'm doing.
Holly is a busy woman, and you can tell that from the speed with which she talks. It was really, really hard to get her to slow down enough so that people would have a hope of following her. Like many of you, she's competing in a big category with a ton of competition. As she said, it would be almost impossible for her to reach page one of Google just for the word toys. Even the slightly narrower term of Toys Canada still has a lot of competition for page one, mainly from big chain stores like Toys R Us, Mastermind Toys, and the big department stores. But at the same time, there's not a lot of advertising done on Google for Toys Canada, so maybe it is worth doing. Let's take a look. There's an interesting balance when you advertise on Google or any other platform where you pay each time somebody clicks on your ad. By the way, we call that pay-per-click or PPC advertising. Those are terms you might hear. You really need to think through to make sure that you're making the best use of your advertising budget. Now, let me give you a little warning. Math alert! Don't panic. I'm not a math whiz, and even I can figure this one out.
I will show the calculations on the show notes page, or you can just hit your pause button right now, grab a pen and paper, and follow along. My husband's a math geek, and he'd love doing it all in his head, but I'm not like that. Google estimates that the generic word toys, advertised only to visitors located in Canada, would only cost 34 cents a click. That's not very much. And, listen to this, it gets 2.25 million searches in Canada every month. Wow! So you think to yourself, this is going to be easy. I'm going to be rich. Well, not so fast. 2% is considered a good click-through rate. But if you get 2% of the 2,240,000 Canadian searches each month, you're looking at 44,800 clicks every month. At 34 cents a click, that will cost you $15,232 a month, and a whole lot more as we head into the Christmas season. So, question one for you is, do you have that kind of cash flow that would even make it possible to do that kind of advertising? And question two is, would it be worth it? Let's suppose that 2% of those 44,800 clicks turn into sales. We call that the conversion rate. And here too, a 2% rate is considered pretty good in the industry. So if 2% converted, you'd be selling 896 items every month. Sounds great. Now let's say your average profit per item is, I don't know, $10. So if that's the case, you'd make $8,960 profit from the ad campaign before including the advertising cost. Now, think back to what the cost was going to be for that advertising. The result is you're only going to be earning a little more than half of the actual cost of the advertising. Remember, it cost you $15,232 versus a net profit on the item sold of $8,960 before cost. So what looked like a fantastic opportunity really might not be. In fact, in this case, I would say definitely isn't. That's why you really need to narrow your focus. Narrowing your focus when you're promoting yourself online makes it a lot easier to get to page one without advertising, which we call this organic listings, and it can make your advertising campaigns a lot more profitable. In the Cool Toys for Tots case, they know that they've got a couple of brands like Melissa and Doug that not all the big box stores carry, but parents or teachers who are looking for that brand are serious prospects. They've done their research to the point of having a good idea of exactly what they want to buy. So now your job is to let them know you've got it, give them a fair price, and reassure them that you are the place they want to buy it from. You may have heard about Google's free keyword tool. And it is a really helpful tool, but I'd suggest you go one little step further and set up a Google AdWords account if you haven't already done so. It doesn't cost you anything, and once you are in there, you can use the keyword tool, but it shows you even more useful information. Once you put in your keywords that you're interested in, the Google AdWords keyword tool will give you a good idea of how many searches there are for a given keyword, how much competition there is, and this is what you don't get with the other tool, what your likely cost per click would be. This will help you do the type of analysis that we just ran through. So you're looking for a combination of keywords that are for products that offer you a good profit margin and or are not very expensive to buy advertising for but do have enough people searching to make it worth your while, and or either they don't have very much competition or you've got a really strong competitive advantage that you can convey in just those few tiny words of ad copy that you're allowed on Google. Keywords and online advertising are huge topics. We don't have time for me to do an exhaustive lesson here today, but I will be doing other little segments on them following some of the other interviews, and I'm preparing more in-depth materials that will ultimately be available at frankonlinemarketing.com. In the meantime, please ask me your questions. I'll either answer you directly or I'll put the answers on the website or in the show. You can send your questions to Tema@frankonlinemarketing.com. Tema is spelled T-E-M as another A. Or you can leave a comment in the show notes. Or you can call me toll-free at 1-866-544-9262. Soon I'll also have a little button on the website that will let you leave voice feedback directly from the site. I'm looking forward to that, and I sure hope some people are going to use it. So that's it for today. If you find the Frank Online Marketing Show useful, please tell your friends and colleagues about it. And come back next Friday for episode 3. Bye.